Welcome back to the Off Peak, a video series from Charged Fleet covering electric vehicles and fleets. I'm editor and Off Peak host Martin Ramju. Today we get into the scope of America's electric vehicle energy resources and an important reality check on the power and battery materials needed to bring about widespread electrification. Expert Jeff Short, Vice President of the American Transportation Research Institute, explores some sobering questions about getting from here to the EV future being promoted today. All right, Jeff Short, Vice President of the American Transportation Research Institute, welcome to Charged Fleet Off Peak.
Hi there, Martin. Thanks for having me.
So I wanted to just start off, before we get to the questions, could you just give us a quick overview of what prompted this recent charging study?
It is very clear that electrification of trucking and cars and light trucks is coming. And at least we as an industry are going to be using these trucks. It may not be fully electric at the end of the day, but there are lots of opportunities to use battery electric vehicles, particularly in the short haul segment of our industry. So this was a top research advisory committee project, and we went forward with it last year and finished it up in December.
Mm-hmm. So given the current state of utilities and electric generation in the U.S., how realistic are these goals that we hear about in the media of achieving higher percentages of EV and electric truck usage in the next decade?
So for truck electrification, the generation of electricity is just one piece of the puzzle. Making more electricity will not address all of the headwinds, but it certainly is necessary. We outlined some of these details in our report. It's called Charging Infrastructure Challenge for the U.S. Electric Vehicle Fleet. It's available no cost on our website, truckingresearch.org. And what we found is that if the nearly 3 million tractor trailers operating in the U.S. today converted instantly from diesel to electricity, they would consume roughly 10% of the nation's electricity. Certainly, this transition would take place over years, but basically that means overall electricity production will have to increase substantially. Add to that cars, light trucks, medium and heavy duty freight trucks that aren't tractor trailers, and there's going to be an increase of 40% more electricity needed. So that's quite substantial. The utilities are going to have to grow if we head in this direction of electrification.
Is there a way to quantify the scale of utility expansion that's needed to accommodate the widespread electrification of ground, commercial fleet, public fleet, private vehicle transportation all across the U.S.? I know you mentioned 40%, but realistically, do they have to double and triple their square footage of facilities? What are we looking at here in terms of scale?
Well, a specific answer to that question will certainly take a lot of research, and ultimately that's going to be up to the 3,000 utilities that operate in the United States. But generally speaking, utilities are going to have to generate more, like I said, and transport more electricity, often to places that it has not gone to at such levels before. In the report, we look at a single rural parking facility, for instance. At that facility, it's got roughly 60 truck parking spots, and we calculated, looking at activity there, that about 126 trucks daily would have to charge based on the parking demand at that location. So 126 large long-haul trucks would have to charge there. Unfortunately, what that means is, to this rural location in West Texas, the equivalent electricity needed by 5,000 households will be needed by these 126 trucks. So that presents a major investment for utilities, and utilities are going to have to figure out how much can be transmitted using the existing infrastructure, and then how much more electric infrastructure is going to be necessary, and also how much power generation is going to be needed within a proximity. So we also outlined in the report that some states will need far more electricity than others. This is based on current vehicle operations data and electricity production data. So to do this, utilities will have to make significant investments. Some investments will be higher in certain states, and some will be lower.
So what would the ideal charging infrastructure look like that can meet all the demands of widespread electrification? Is it a matter of just having charging facilities wherever you now have a diesel pump? What does that look like in a scenario that builds confidence in electric fleets?
So it's going to have to go beyond a diesel pump. There will likely, and we describe this in the report, have to be a charger at every single truck parking location in the U.S. That is over 300,000 truck parking locations. And, of course, there's a truck parking shortage, and that isn't even enough. 300,000 plus isn't even enough chargers to provide electricity to the industry. So, and I'll go back to the diesel pump example. A diesel pump can fill a truck with 300 gallons of diesel in roughly, some of them can do it in about 5 minutes, some of them in 15 minutes. That's not the case currently for charging. For charging, it's going to take many, many hours. With the existing trucks that are out there, more widely available on the market and used by multiple companies, they're roughly going to be taking in 200 to 250 kilowatt hours. That's their charge rate. That's how much electricity they're pulling in and holding per hour. So if you have a 1,000 kilowatt hour battery, it's gonna take several hours. If you have a larger battery, which is necessary to go 500 miles, let's say, it's going to take even more time. The charging is going to have to coincide with federal hours of service regulations that the drivers must follow. These hours of service dictate hours of driving, hours of rest. For an over-the-road driver, rest is taken on the road. So, like I said, charging infrastructure will have to merge with parking infrastructure instead of being kind of like your pump-based solution that we have now, because the trucks are simply going to have to stay there for a longer period of time, and the drivers are going to have to use their time wisely, which means charge while they rest.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to get into another dimension of the study and the report. Is there any way to estimate the quantity of raw materials and commodities needed for future EV batteries? And by how much would global mining capacity need to expand to accommodate that supply? Because these trucks are going to need big batteries. So what are we looking at?
Trucks will literally be hauling tons of batteries if electrification is the solution. And that is saying that I'm looking at today's technology. There are possibilities that are endless with research into battery technology. But using today's technology, in our report, we calculated how much the U.S. vehicle fleet would consume as far as these battery materials such as cobalt, graphite, and lithium. So for those three, cobalt, graphite, and lithium, the U.S. vehicle fleet would actually consume 25 to 35 years worth of global production. And that's just for our country. That doesn't include Europe. That doesn't include enormous countries like China and India. That is just for the U.S. So obviously, there's going to be need to be a ramp up in global production. And looking at the reserves, the known reserves, what we know is out there for these materials. For cobalt, for instance, our country would consume nearly 65% of the known global reserves through full fleet electrification. And other countries are going to want these materials as well. So we're going to have to do some exploring also and find new sources of these materials beyond what we know about today.
Now, in terms of having widespread electrification by 2050, is it even worth asking how far behind the U.S. is in supplying the vehicles, the power, and the equipment, or is it too early to even tell? Can things really speed up? What's the best way to look at this long-term perspective?
Long-term, folks, policy folks often set goals in order to move innovation forward, to get folks going in a certain direction. We might not meet a 2050 goal, but goals change. They change with how much progress we're making. I don't necessarily think we are behind, and that's simply because electrification may not be the solution to decreasing emissions. There are still emissions associated with the mining that we just discussed, and the generation of electricity is not all renewable right now, and it won't be for many, many years. It won't even be mostly renewable. There's still going to be a lot of electricity in this country, at least 40% by 2050. We'll still be 40% natural gas. That's according to EIA information. Another report that we produced showed that with today's technology, shifting from long-haul diesel to battery electric trucks, that actually decreases CO2 by only 30%. So we have to also ask ourselves, as we're moving in this direction, are we doing everything that we need to do to decrease emissions? And there may be other solutions out there. So it's good that we as a nation and as a trucking industry are testing the electrification option out, but it may ultimately not be the solution, particularly for heavier fleets that operate longer distances.
Mm-hmm. What are some actions that industries and governments can take now to make the electrification process as easy as possible, and at least try to approximate what they are envisioning in terms of goals?
Mm-hmm. So looking at larger trucks in particular, first and foremost, an increase in truck parking is needed. Without a place to park throughout their operations, trucks are not going to be able to charge. Trucks take up a lot of space. They need to be able to park in a parking space that has a charger. So an investment in truck parking is really sort of the low-hanging fruit here. Even if we take a path that is not electrification in the future, let's say we go down the hydrogen fuel cell route instead, the parking spaces will still be useful for the trucking industry. Either way, more parking will address several issues facing the industry, not just the issue of CO2. I would also say that governments should be careful to avoid stifling innovation by choosing winners and losers as far as technology is concerned. Again, looking at the two reports that we recently released on this topic, it is not clear that electrification for larger vehicles, for longer haul vehicles, is necessarily the solution. There's a common goal, certainly, of reducing CO2 and other emissions, but I'm not sure we've found the end-all, be-all solution without major advances in technologies, making the battery lighter, more dense, able to hold more energy, and also charging that battery faster. There may be other approaches out there that work better than electrification, and those approaches should certainly be given the appropriate attention, R&D funding that they deserve.
I know there's a lot more we could get into here. I think we just skimmed the surface, so I know this is a topic we're going to want to definitely revisit. But Jeff Short, thank you so much for joining us here on the Off Peak. And we certainly look forward to more information coming out from the American Transportation Research Institute.
Well, thank you, Martin. Thanks again for having me.
Thanks to Jeff Short of the American Transportation Research Institute for a long-range overview of creating the infrastructure needed to electrify America's ground transportation. You can learn more about the ATRI and its most recent study, Charging Infrastructure Challenges for the U.S. Electric Vehicle Fleet, at the website listed below on the screen, truckingresearch.org. Remember to follow and connect with us on social media, subscribe to our YouTube channel, and sign up for our weekly Charged Fleet e-newsletter to stay up to date on the latest EV industry news. I'm Martin Ramji with Charged Fleet. Thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you again here on another power-hungry episode of the Off-Peak.